Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the July 20 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason, coming to you today from the malt plant that belongs to Anheuser-Busch in Moorhead, Minnesota. I traveled earlier in the week, did a little crop tour, coming across parts of Illinois, southeastern Iowa, and then Des Moines to Interstate 80 and I-29 all the way up. We'll discuss a bit of that when we talk with Bill Mayer. He's at Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois. Greg Johnson is with us from the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois, and Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities out of Hudsonville, Illinois. Well, let's start with our normal question. This week, things have changed quite a bit. Bill, what's on your list of items to discuss?
Well, I think the major focus of the market is on the weather and on the crop size here on the corn especially. And I guess I think we need to discuss where we think the market actually believes this yield on corn and that carry out and that's going to come in and we're, you know, how much weather premium we've got in the market right now.
Sherman Newland?
Yeah, I mean, I'll piggyback on what Bill said. I mean, it's going to be about crop ratings. I mean, all about weather and where this yield's going to end up coming as they try to figure it out and see how much premium, like he said, is going into this and, you know, what the weather reports are going to look like going forward and what this August outlook look like.
And Greg Johnson.
I would take it one step further. You know, how bad is this corn crop? You know, the government's still using 170.7, and the last time we were on, I think I said everybody would say there was no way it was 170, it was under, just a question of how much under. So I guess I'd like to talk about how much under it is and what that does to the price. You know, if it's 5 bushels less than the government, where's the price going to be? If it's 10 bushels less than the government, where's it going to be? And is there a chance that it could be even worse than 10 bushels less than the government?
Where do you think it is?
Right now, I would say it's 165 myself. I mean, and I understand that if it doesn't rain in Iowa in the next week to 10 days, it's going to be less than 165 because they have not really gone through pollination. At least 2/3 of Illinois has pollinated. And so there's something there, and it's just a question of how it fills out. But Iowa has a lot of corn to pollinate. Minnesota, Nebraska, I think when you look at the silking numbers of Monday, 40% or less as of Monday. So this week and next week are going to be very critical for the Western Corn Belt.
Anybody else have a guess on what average corn yield for the nation might be? Sherman Newland?
Yes, I think it's well under 165. I mean, you may not get it. You're not going to get it from the USDA. In the August report, they should come off of their 170 some. I would venture to go on and say it's even under 160 from what we've been seeing and hearing from the country. I mean, with the heat, the tip back that's starting to take place already. I mean, if these weather forecasts stay the same and Iowa doesn't get the rain anytime soon and we do turn off hotter and drier, because I think the Dakotas are in bad shape. I think a lot of states are in bad shape. I mean, if you look at the crop ratings, I mean, the top 10 states, if you average those from last Monday, the average rating was 15% under last year. So that's going to put a big dent in this carryout or the yield eventually.
And Bill Mayer.
Well, I would agree with 165, 166 is kind of where I'm at. I think the thing that got the market excited this week is when they saw that drop in the Iowa numbers from a good to excellent, and more importantly, probably in the area of the poor, very poor increasing. I guess that's the good news. The bad news probably is if you look at the numbers on that last supply demand report, throw 165 in there and leave everything else the same, you still come up with, you know, adequate bushels, although it does reduce it, you know, a bunch from their 2.3 billion bushels that they had on their carryout here on last Wednesday. But so then the question becomes, if you you know, if you drop your carry out that substantially, what does the market do? And I think that's, to me, I think it gives you opportunities, but it still is a market where you want to sell it if you get those opportunities.
What do each of you think Illinois is going to be?
Depends on where you're at in Illinois, Todd. I think did Central Illinois pick up a good rain here a while back? I mean, there's still, the drought monitor map is still showing pretty dry in some areas. I think there is really great corn up in those areas. I think if you go into the Peoria area, I think there's probably some fantastic corn. I think the west side of Illinois, you know, has been cheated on moisture. I know the southern half of Illinois has been cheated on moisture. We're in dire shapes down here. I've had some corn that hasn't had rain for quite some time that's starting to tassel and just looks awful. I think you can go up to the northeastern part of Illinois where they've had too much rain. I mean, they'll tell you up there that they've had so much water that they're having damage in that area. So I think it's hard to quantify where we'll be, but I wouldn't be surprised if we're under 180 on statewide. But
Sherman, whenever we do our our conference call and kind of put some numbers together from around the Midwest and that, we've kind of come up with about 181, 182, something like that, just, you know, having different areas rate where they think they are currently. So that's kind of where we're at, which would be about a, 8-9% reduction from a year ago.
But it wouldn't be that far off the average.
No, not really, no. And that's probably what you're looking, when you say 165, that's nationally, that's probably right around the average, maybe a couple bushel below trend yield, right? So.
But until a few years ago, 160, 158, the lower 160s was a really good year. So, I think there's a lot of problems out there myself. I mean, Wisconsin got a lot of rain last night. We heard upwards of some spots over 7 inches. They're telling us guys up there that they've just had way too much rain, that they're hurt, they've got damage from that. So I think it's going to be hard to quantify, but I think we're well under, what USDA said Wednesday.
Yeah, 4 years ago, Illinois was in the mid-170s. 3 years ago, it was exactly 200. 2 years ago, it was in the mid-170s. Last year, it was 196. I think we're back into another mid-170s again this year for Illinois. You have to remember, we had a lot of uneven stands that took the top end off of a lot of areas in the spring. You know, a lot of 32,000 that got planted, but only 25,000 emerged. A lot of replant, a lot of uneven stands. So, I think the 190-200 stuff is history. I think we're in the 170s, and that assumes that we get some normal rainfall in August to fill out what's out there.
And the soybean crop?
Too soon to say, in my opinion, but everyone says the beans are short, and I think they're right. If it rains 3 weeks in August, if we get normal to above normal rain, the beans can surprise us, and maybe even these small plants can put out a average crop. But I think last year we were 60 some bushels statewide. I'll take the under on that, and I don't know how much under, but definitely under, because the beans are too small this early, and we just haven't. We've had some rain, but if you look at the totals, even in Champaign, we've had 2-point-something inches for the month of July, and that sounds nice. It's better than zero. But our average over the last 35 years is 4.7 inches for July, 4.2 for June, and we only had 2 inches in June. So we're getting about half of the normal rainfall. So it's not a disaster. I'm not saying it's a disaster. I'm just saying it's not an average crop. I think we're slightly below average.
I'd agree with that. I think we're, the beans are short. We've got some beans around here that are planted April 25th that been shorted on rain, and they're not over knee high. They haven't closed the rows on 30-inch rows yet. But there again, it's awfully early to say. But good rain or a lot of rain in August can change that quite a bit. But there again, I think nationwide you could be looking at a two. It is early to say, but probably a 2-3 bushel yield decrease anyway would be my estimation, if the weather forecasters are correct in saying that August is going to be warmer and possibly drier.
Say, I would agree with these guys. I think right now, since it is so early, you have to kind of just assume a average crop and see what happens. But I think the story in the beans is not in the supply side right now. It's, to me, this was the thing that stood out about the supply and demand report a week ago, is that we have this good Brazilian crop. We had the good, fantastic crop in the U.S. last year. And yet, for the 17-18 carryout, the USDA is showing that we're going to be about a million, million and a half metric tons less than we were a year ago. So I think that's a telling factor on the soybeans. And not that that means that beans have to just continue to rise. If we do have supply problems, it just exaggerates the situation as long as this demand stays as strong as it is.
And that's with 6 million more acres than last year.
Yeah, makes you wonder when we take 3 or 4 million corn acres back to beans next year, how does that affect things?
So what are farmers to do at this point?
Well, I was just going to say, depend on what your crop looks like in your area. I mean, if, like here in my area where we've got corn that's getting tipped back already, you know, an inch and a half, 2 inches, if it continues to get worse, it's hard to say what kind of crop we're going to have. But eventually, yeah, you're going to have to sell into it. If you're a producer and you've got good-looking area, I think you sell into it up to what you're comfortable with, and you buy some back with call options if you want, in case, you know, this weather would change, you know, with corn or beans, either one. Because if the forecast does look, you know, to be hot and dry going forward in August, I mean, chart-wise and technically-wise, it looks like we could start to push this thing up, you know, get into the 425, 440 area maybe in the corn, depending on where this yield ends up going. And probably, you know, I think we're going to head over to the, make new highs over in what we did in the beans last week, push over that 1040 area and see what's up there. But I think, guys, you know, and vice versa, I mean, it's going to be the same old adage. If you don't want to do that, you can buy put options as this market goes up. But you got to do something here, I mean, I would say, with these prices as producers.
I'd like to just reiterate what Bill said earlier. Even if we have a 5-6 bushel reduction in yield, which I think we do, the carryout only goes from 2.3 to 1.8 or 1.9. That's still plenty of corn.
Yes.
And it doesn't keep corn above $4 for very long. So on this rally, this week, next week, however long it lasts, I think that might be the opportunity to get corn sold above $4 on the board, because if we don't sell it then, we may have to wait until next year before we get another chance. That's how it's been the last 3 years. We get a chance in June and July to sell $4 futures, and then we have to wait till next June or July to get another chance. So, you know, while I'm still very friendly that the government is overestimating the crop size, in the same breath, I want to say that there's so much old crop corn and such a big carryout that we can get by with less corn, and the price doesn't have to stay at 425 for very long. So I would encourage farmers to have offers in. And again, if you're in an area where that's had more rain, it's easier to do that. But even if you have a smaller crop, you got to sell it at some point in time. And the overall crop size seems to be big enough that unless you think the crop is under 160 bushels, which maybe it is, but if you think it's in that 162 to 165 range, you probably want to take advantage of these prices.
Could I just add something to the corn? A couple of things. I think these points have been covered as far as making the sales and buying the calls. Our plan all along was kind of the pre-purchase the calls and then use that to sell aggressively, scale into the corn market, and that's kind of what we're continuing to do. Don't forget, though, that if, especially if you have on-farm storage, don't forget to look out there to the July futures or March futures, whatever you're comfortable with going out forward. There's still good carry in the market, and you might get to your target level sooner in the March or July than you would in the December futures, for example. So if you have the ability to store the corn, rather than get in the same boat that you were this summer with old crop corn sitting there trying to figure out what to do with it, maybe be proactive and try to get out there and get some of it moved into the deferred slots.
Okay, Bill, let's turn your attention then to soybeans, because it appears that you're telling me that this may be a little bit on the demand-driven side, and does that give you a different marketing opportunity?
Well, I think it gives you an opportunity. I don't think that you turn down $10 and above cash soybeans. I guess I still feel like that will be a good sale come harvest time, but I think it makes you more willing or more likely to want to look for setbacks in the market to try to buy some call options back and cover some of those bushels that you've sold if you make aggressive sales prior to harvest, especially. So that's kind of the strategy I guess I feel like promoting, is to go out, make sales. What we've been doing in both the corn and bean market is going up, making new highs, then setting back pretty substantially, sometimes setting back, and then making the next move higher. It's not one of these that's just moving straight up here at this point. So it gives you some opportunity to you know, get sales on and then protect those sales with a bulk call strategy or just straight call options, whatever your preference is.
It has required some fortitude to watch the market drop and not to get scared into a position, hasn't it, Greg?
It has. I mean, months ago we talked about a big South American crop, 6 million more acres planted in the U.S., and how low can beans go? And they did dip below $9 cash for a while. On the other hand, the demand has been good, as Bill says. The carryout is projected to be 460, but if you just take 2 bushel yield off of that, like Sherman was talking about, times 90 million acres, that's 180 million bushels off the carryout, and all of a sudden 460 becomes 280. So is the carryout 280? If it is, we've got 1150 beans. If it's a 460 carryout, we've got 850 beans, and we don't know yet today, so that's why the market's at $10. I think we can go $1.50 either way in beans. I hate to, you know, be wishy-washy, but I think if I could predict the weather in August, I would know whether to sell all the beans or sell none of the beans. But we're right in the middle. I don't think the market knows either. We're right at $10, a little bit over, and like I say, they could go $1.50 either way pretty easily.
Admittedly, I'd rather predict the weather over Labor Day weekend and whether we get a rain or not on that weekend. That seems like the make or break for me. Chairman Newland, your thought on the bean market?
Oh, I mean, I agree with these guys. I mean, it's hard to say for sure what the weather is going to be. I mean, it's come back up after that huge drop, you know, last Wednesday that few saw really coming from what USDA was saying. But at the same time, we had rain on the radar and there's rain in the forecast. And, well, really, then you get, you know, you come to Monday and you get a big drop in the crop ratings. I think if crop ratings continue to drop, which I would think they would again Monday, and based on, you know, the weather forecast going forward, you're going to, you know, continue to find a discovering market as it tries to figure out where this yield's going to end up being. And as farmers, you know, we got to take advantage of it. But yeah, well, I mean, what Greg said, I mean, the dollar and a half higher, I think is could be in the cards. So, you know, have some call options. We've been buying some of those. We've had some of those bought for a while. Same way in the corn market, you know, that way you can pull the trigger on some sales as the market continues to rally. Because I think, you know, once we get up there and figure out where the yield is going to be halfway close to being at, then the market will start to sell off. I don't think the USDA is going to give us any really drop the yield in either corn or beans, either one, that much when we get to this August report. But maybe by the time we get to the September report, they'll be a little bit more accurate.
Can I ask a different question, which is, when you talk to producers in the primary Corn Belt counties across the region, do they say, when I look out, my crop looks pretty good still?
It depends on the county you're in. And boy, I'll tell you, this year has been one of the toughest from the standpoint of really trying to get your hands around where we're at. Just like, you know, here in Champaign, where we get 7 or 8 tenths yesterday, you know, that makes a huge difference compared to 5 miles away where they didn't get that. Or maybe I shouldn't say Champaign, Urbana, maybe just Champaign. Maybe across town it was different. But it really is different. But just from a overall general standpoint, whenever we talk to producers in a group setting and start in the west and move east, we're starting with the worst stuff, like in Nebraska, and then moving to the better stuff in the eastern part of the belt, with some exceptions, of course. Indiana's kind of one that's really mixed, just depending a lot on crop planting dates and that type of thing. So overall, we've got a lot better crop, I believe, in the east than we do in the western part of the belt. And that's not 100% by any means, but I think it really causes the market trouble in trying to get its hands around what crop size we've got. And we may not, personally, I think we may not really know until we get out there and start harvesting some of this.
Yeah, so therein lies what I think is mind-boggling about this one, because the numbers, what you just gave us was the West worse than the East. The USDA numbers would say Minnesota's great, Iowa's fine, Illinois not so good. I've been through, and I'll go through Minnesota on the way home on this Friday, on Friday afternoon. This, of course, recorded on Thursday. And I expect to see a really good crop in Minnesota. I saw what I thought was a pretty good crop in Iowa, frankly, on my route, with the exception of that southeastern corner. And it was, as I said, gray and droughty, and it was shot. And up the interstate, I asked just to double check on I-29, where the thing rolls pretty hard, whether that's just part and parcel of the unevenness there is part and parcel of the roll, and it is each and every year. So I figured that crop actually looks good. And what really threw me was that the medians were green, and I mean really green, from Peoria to Monmouth, that thing to Galesburg area, that is beautiful. All the way across to Burlington looks fantastic. Burlington to Des Moines, debatable at best. But then things in the median, and grass isn't the best indicator, but if it's brown, it's not a good indicator because it dries up too fast. And it looked pretty decent to me going across there, and certainly up. And I got out, I looked at the crop. It's just, I guess, variable enough that nobody's got a really good handle on what this crop looks like. And it means, as all three of you have said, that producers need to take advantage of prices when they get to the $4 and the $10 area. And is that kind of the summary of what we want to say this week? And I guess maybe Greg, right?
I think so, Todd. And I think let's just kind of step back a minute and look at this. Like today, we traded on corn below the February average by a penny and a half or so on the low. So we're just right there where we were in February on December corn futures. And on the soybeans, again, we traded 10 cents or so below the February average on beans. So we had a lot of volatility, but I think that kind of shows where the market is just having a struggle trying to figure out where we are at on supply side of things.
That's why I think it's going to be a realizing type market, I mean, as the trade tries to figure it out, because I think the western areas are hurt a lot worse than what a lot of people are thinking. I mean, the Dakotas are, you know, I've talked to some guys up there, and they've had a little bit of rain, and they're in central South Dakota, and they're just like, our corn's shot. We're just not going to have it, you know. And then you go to the guys in Wisconsin, and they're too wet, and you go to southern Illinois, they're too dry, and guys in Indiana are all over the place. But for the most part, they've been way too wet. I mean, they've got a lot of drowned-out holes. So I guess I'm the bull moose of the group. I think we're still going higher because I think yields are still going to go lower here. So, I mean, if you're okay with selling $4 corn, that's great if you got a good crop. But, you know, I think we could go to $4.50. I think we could go higher in beans, like Greg said, either way. But, you know, I wouldn't rule out there's a gap up there around $11 in these beans that, you know, we could stretch on out, because the market will overshoot it. I mean, because it doesn't know exactly where the yields are at. But I guess I think we're going higher, just because it takes a heck of a crop to raise a big yield. I mean, you start taking some stuff out of it. I mean, if you're out in the combine shelling corn or cutting beans and you hit a hole, it takes a long time to get that average yield to come back up. It just sucks it down really fast. And I think that's what's going on around the country. That's why I think the yields are going to be quite a bit lower than what a lot of people are thinking.
With as much variability as we've seen with the rainfalls over the last several months, I'm going to rely on the government, on NASS, because they survey a larger percentage than what I can see out my own back door. So if you look at the last 4 or 5 years, 66-67% good to excellent rating is about an average crop. If you're above that, you've got a good crop. If you're below that, it's not so good. Monday's number showed Minnesota the best at 79%. Iowa was next at 71. So, Todd, that confirms where you went through. It looks really good. Nebraska is 65, which is about average, but you consider that there are a lot of irrigation, so the dry land is probably hurting there. Next comes Illinois at 62, and we're 5 points below normal, so it's a slightly below normal crop, not a disaster. But then you go to Indiana at 47%, North Dakota at 45, South Dakota at 30. So the Western Corn Belt, the Dakotas, Iowa, Minnesota is good. But overall, we're at 64%, and that's just a little bit below normal, and that can change. But there's so much variability out there that, you know, you can find someone to identify your position if you want to. But I'm going to go with the government's numbers and say that we're slightly below average, and that can change over the next 2 to 3 weeks dramatically.
Let's get a final word from each of you. And before we get there, I think I've got one summary as I've been listening to this and thinking about it. And the USDA numbers, the last 3 years, 14, 15, 16, it have all been good years, right? 13, maybe two. And I talked to a farmer that is about 80 miles west of here, 15 years ago, did not have corn. He's outside of the Red River Valley, so his corn crop's in not the best of areas. He is dry. He told me that he was thinking that that he maybe would be at 75% of his previous average, and I said of your 10-year, which remember USDA's averages are much longer than that, and he said, oh no, more like 85% if I go back that far. So that's kind of my thought process on that one, and maybe that puts me in line, Greg, with where you are. And I'm generally don't struggle a lot with how I feel about the crop because I try to ignore that, but I've got a look at this crop, and it's I guess I'll go with the USDA NAS numbers at the moment, and we'll see how that goes. So let's get a final word from each of you. Sherm Newland, let's start with you.
Well, like I said, I guess I'm a little bit more friendly to the market price than maybe a lot of people, because I think the crop is a little bit smaller, and I know how hard it is to raise such a great crop across this country. So, I mean, if you're in a good area, I think, you know, you definitely can make some sales as this thing pushes higher. But, you know, watch the weather, watch the crop ratings, and take advantage of these and make some, you know, go ahead and make some sales if you're going to, you know, have some, even if you're in a bad area to pull the trigger and make some sales, because you got to sell it sometime, like Greg said. So it does give us opportunity to do some things, but I do think eventually this crop's going to come out surprisingly lower than what a lot of people are thinking.
Bill Mayer?
Yeah, I certainly don't disagree that we can see some opportunities and some higher prices in the market as the market reacts to the crop conditions and the weather. I think the question is how do you approach that? I think you've got to take advantage of it if you can get levels that you think are profitable type levels. So my strategy is to come out and you try to make sales and defend it with call options on both corn and beans. I think that's a good win-win type strategy that you can do. Finally, don't forget to look out there to the 2018 crop as we do get some of these rallies in the market. There's really quite a bit of carry, and we're going to have a lot more acres of corn, I believe, next year, so that's probably something to consider.
And Greg Johnson.
I think we could see, and I want to say emphasize could, see 450 December corn. I think that's kind of the upside limit if we really turn off hot and dry. But the flip side is if it would turn off and start raining, the last 3 years we've been 320 December corn in the fall in October. So I'm not saying we need to go that low, but we could go down to 360 yet this year if everything would turn around and go perfect. So if we get a chance to sell 420 December corn, 450 is only 30 cents higher, whereas 360 is 60 cents lower. I think there's more downside than upside when we get to 420. So I'm going to kind of lean towards getting corn sold if we get that rally next week on some hot and dry weather concerns.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Our panelists this week have included Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign, Illinois, along with Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing. He's also from Champaign. And Sherman Newland of Hudsonville, Illinois, and he is with Risk Management Commodities. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Traveling this week, you can check out the map of where I've been across the Corn Belt on the 2017 Corn Belt Crop Tour. Of course, I am in Minnesota, Moorhead, at the malt plant, which is the twin city, of course, to Fargo, North Dakota. And you can see what I've been up to here, also at willag.org.